thrive.net. That's survive2thrive.net. We hope you'll find the commentary from our hosts interesting and helpful. Steve Quayle will host on Fridays, Hawk on Thursdays, Steve St. Clair, Darren Craddock, and occasional guests on Wednesdays, Nathan Leal on Tuesdays, and Darren on Mondays. These are trying times that look to be getting more and more challenging every day. Our hosts want to keep you informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas, health that you will need to survive and thrive in these challenging times. Please keep in mind that these shows do cost money to air, and presently EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with information, but also with incredibly effective products designed to bring you to optimum health, your natural state. By supporting EnerHealth, you support this network, and your own health and ability to thrive in these times. Go to survive2thrive.net, that's www.survive2thrive.net, and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right, or call them at 866-762-9238, that's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. Many of our listeners are already taking the products that EnerHealth has to offer, and we thank you for that. Their EnerFood product can extend the life of your dehydrated food supplies by one-third, simply by taking one tablespoon a day. In essence, the EnerFood and coconut combined constitute a meal replacement, so that can extend the life of your stored foods. And in addition to giving you energy and nutrition that your body needs, it has a 2-year shelf life. Take a look also at the organic Coco Mojo and coffee, as well as our other immune-boosting herbal supplements. There are incredible specials for network listeners from time to time, so be sure to tune in often for important information and great prices. We trust that the information our hosts and myself give on these shows is truly helpful. We want to help reduce physical and other forms of suffering for you, your family, and community today and in the times that are coming. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy tonight's show.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to tonight's edition of Survive to Thrive. I'm Steve Quayle. This is a live broadcast. It's 1:14, obviously, 2011. I want to thank my friend John DiNardo for sending me a wonderful opening for tonight's show. We're going to talk about Planet X, volcanism, and everything. I'm going to tell you what I know about it, and John's done a marvelous job. By the way, he has a radio show, and it's one that I'd recommend to you, and you can go and listen to it. It's on Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, AmericanVoiceRadio.com, AmericanVoiceRadio.com, ABR1, and it's also simulcast, I guess, on Micro1650AM.com, or you can hear him at 10 p.m. Eastern on 3.185 shortwave. And it's being simulcast at WWRB.org. I can't get this up until Monday, but I want to talk tonight about Planet X. I want to talk about astrocatastrophism. I want to talk about what good does it do to try and warn a people that don't see the obvious and yet want more and more and more, and maybe should we really even bother? And the answer to that is, of course, because God pleads with his people. And John's done a wonderful job. I want to give him the attribution he deserves. He and I email back and forth, and I share things with him that he won't share publicly if I ask him not to. But tonight I want to read, first of all, what he states. Well, it's all over the mass media, CNN, Fox News, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, etc. The astronomers at the Minnesota Planetarium have released an announcement, which is actually a cover story as to why Earth's wobble has accentuated inexplicably and alarmingly. They have concocted a glib, erroneous explanation to preempt public fear and to obscure the real cause of the ongoing barrage of worldwide geological and meteorological disasters, which is currently wreaking, and he writes, not wrecking, as the Weather Channel mistakenly mispronounces the word, wreaking havoc upon the populations around the world. Earthquakes, chart-busting heat and cold, a record-breaking drought and snowfall, torrential rains, epic flooding, and a litany of every imaginative extreme weather event. And, John, I'm also going to talk tonight, everybody, about all the different volcanoes and go back to a statement I made probably the second or third month I was ever on talk radio out of Johnstown, Colorado. I said, when the volcanoes all go active, and I said the biggest ones will all go active at once, you'll know we're right there. Now, here's what John writes. That's Steve. Now, here's John. The mass media is quite suspiciously hyping this outlandish explanation for the rather recent changes in the zodiacal positions vis-a-vis the historically constant astrological calendar dates demarcating the various signs of the zodiac. They are claiming that the moon's gravitational pull upon the Earth has shifted the geographical north and south poles of Earth. While the moon has shifted Earth's poles, and the shifting would have been extremely slight, even extremely gradual, and consequently would have occurred over many, many centuries. So only now, as Earth has just recently been beset by these decade-long meteorological and seismic disasters, only now do they blast out this sour-sounding fanfare of fanciful non-astronomy showcased in the cheap facade of astrology. And it's obvious, ladies and gentlemen, this is me now, not John, I'll get back to his last statement, that the greatest cover-up in the history of the world, that's why you've been divorced from the true history of the origin of the universe, the creation of the universe, and I'm taking this from, obviously, a biblically accurate perspective, and a lot of you that have written off the Bible may find out that not only does your salvation lie in the person of Jesus Christ, but also does your answers, do those answers that you're seeking now so desperately. Back to John. NASA now knows full well that the deep space incoming comets laden with heliospheric plasma from beyond the outer bounds of our solar system have already caused polar shifts on Neptune and possibly on Saturn, caused unprecedented changes in Jupiter, and have now penetrated deep enough into the inner solar system to excite solar hyperactivity and cause incipient gravitational shifting on Earth's magnetic and geographic poles. It will get worse. But if the men gripping the reins of power around the world can keep us ignorant for just a little while longer, they will have bought enough time to escape to their underground cities, which are becoming known to inquisitive people around the world. Just take a look at this underground television film footage taken by the former governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, and that's posted on YouTube on the deep underground military bases. Now, why this is so important, ladies and gentlemen, is simply this. When I first became aware of the effect of Gabriel's fist. Gabriel's fist is what one group in the scientific community, i.e. NASA and what I would say behind-the-scene boys, that's what they have euphemistically called it all these years. Planet X stands for the 10th planet. When you look at some of the Sumerian seals, you'll see 10 planets in the solar system, with a bigger one not being the sun, obviously there. The thing is, Zachariah Sitchin wrote a lot of books, and Zachariah Sitchin had some really phenomenal research. The only difference that he and I'd say not warred over, but disputed, was the Anunnaki, which he, you know, believed were the aliens that came to Earth and created us. Those, I say, were the fallen angels, and we can get into that a different time. But we're going to talk about Planet X right now. When I first became aware of Planet X, it was actually probably more like 25 years ago, though I didn't know it was called Gabriel's Fist in those days. I read a great book by Donald Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N, called The Biblical Flood, an ice epic. And I began to study the physics of stuff like what's called Roche's or Roche's limit. Some people pronounce it Roche, R-O-C-H-E. But that's the smallest distance at which a natural satellite can orbit a celestial body without being torn apart by the larger body's gravitational force. The distance depends on the densities of the two bodies and the orbit of the satellite. Now, what John and others have done so marvelously is calculated the ecliptic, the orbits, and it can be pretty much postulated the density of the 10th planet. I'm going to call it Gabriel's Fist because that's what I know it as. Years ago, I had a good friend, a pastor and his wife, John and Retta. I won't tell you their last name. I believe Retta may be listening tonight. Retta, God bless you. They put me in contact with an astronomer, scientist from NASA, who was scared out of his mind in those days. And that must have been about 1993 or 1994. He went on to explain that the governments of the world knew this was coming, that the people would be kept in the dark, and even then they were upping their underground building projects at a feverish pace. He even went so far as to say that in those days they thought it would be sometime around the time period between 2011 and 2013. When I talked to the people that I know in the world of above the cloud clearances, they told me 2011. I asked them 3 years ago, it was a big deal, and they said, not yet, but it will be, quote, unquote. The thing that you need to understand is this. There's a word that everyone should be looking up and starting to really understand. It's called astral catastrophism. There are two basic thoughts. The evolutionists were uniformitarianism, that everything had obviously sprung by a natural process. And then there's the catastrophism. The most famous astral catastrophist was a guy named Immanuel Velikovsky. And Velikovsky wrote a great book, which I'd recommend everybody. Now, understand, Velikovsky was not a Christian. He also may have confused Mars and Venus. But to the large extent, he basically could explain how most of the solar system's anomalies, for instance, planets in retrograde motion, planets that spin on their axis contrary to the spin. The only way you can get something to go retrograde is to bring in a gravitational body of greater density and get the thing to have such velocity and bring them close. It may be surprising to a lot of you that Jonathan Swift knew about the guy that wrote Gulliver's Travels, wrote about Phobos and Deimos. Obviously, the word means fear and demons. It may also be interesting to note that there are ancient records that Mars came close enough to the Earth, centuries ago, actually millennia ago, that the people on Earth could actually see Olympus Mons, the volcano on Mars, going off. When you're confronted with Plato and the Critias and Timaeus, the introduction where Solon supposedly is the smartest guy on the planet, one of the seven sages, I'm making this really brief, he talked about the Earth going through massive catastrophic upheavals and change, fire and water. And it's interesting because one of the things that people who hate God and hate the Bible have a hard time reconciling it is the universal flood that happened in the Earth. Now, I want to bring this home right now. Even as early as 3 hours ago, I was talking to someone, and the idea that the underground cities are being expedited, stocked, filled, is amazing. Without giving anything away, let me just say this. His bona fides, he established them to me. He told me stuff I didn't tell him. I knew it from others than he. And based on our relationship and our friendship now, he went on to say to me that everything that he's talking to, everyone in the intelligence community is nervous. When I say nervous, understand, they get nervous too. And this is a good time to put in a spiel. To those of you in the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, all of the different government agencies, unless your clearance is sufficient, you're not being told the whole story either. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the one thing even they who would be God, those who seek to set themselves above the God of heaven, don't understand fully is the degree of what it's going to be like when Planet X, the 10th planet, Gabriel's fist, really starts to make its presence known. Now, if you look at the tilt and the axis of Mars, and you look at Mars's rotational period, because this is interesting. What is Mars known as? Well, it's not only known as the angry red planet, but it's also known as the god of war, W-A-R. And the reason the ancients were even going there in their description of Mars, or Arcturus and its two sons in the Bible, the book of Job. And by the way, the book of Job is the oldest book in the Old Testament. Listen to this. Mars has a rotational speed of 24 hours, 37 minutes in sidereal time. The Earth, coincidentally, has a rotational speed of 23 hours and 56 minutes. The time differential of 41 minutes, a differential of about 2.9%. Mars has an axis, now this is critical, which tilts 24 degrees to the perpendicular of its orbital plane, while our planet Earth has an axis, by way of coincidence, tilts 23.5 degrees. This is a difference of about 2%, a second remarkable coincidence. Now listen to this. A third coincidence in uniformitarian thinking, the allegory of Jonathan Swift, is now recalled along with the mythical Lilliputians and Laputans. The Laputans, according to Swift, possess superior telescopes to the Europeans. The Laputans apparently knew all about the satellites of Mars, their physical diameters, their orbital diameters, and their speed of revolution, some 150 years before such was discovered by later astronomers who eventually built telescopes. If you understand that in ancient history, everything centered around pretty much the sun, moon, and stars, and not because everyone was just pagans, but they were absolutely, the Bible, the Old Testament teaches that the history of the creation universe is in the Maseroth, and that is M-A-Z-Z-A-R-O-T-H. That's the heavens, if you will. That would be the celestial sphere. And the fascinating thing about this is that the ancients were terrified of reoccurring and the judgments that their oral traditions, and in some cases their written traditions, had chronicled through the ages. Now, the NASA scientist went on to say and to tell me that given where we were at that point, keep in mind this is back in 19, probably, I think it was right around 95, 93 to 95, give me a couple of years. And during that time, we saw, in the following years, we saw comets crashing into the sun. We saw what were called the solar angels. The old Cyberspace Orbit website had some marvelous, marvelous video clips from SOHO, the Solar Observing Helioscopic Observatory. It's a satellite that keeps focused on the sun or keeps the sun in its primary focal plane all the time. And now we're seeing, and I put it up on my website, we're seeing battle in outer space. We're hearing of battles in outer space. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, always watch the colors of the quote-unquote comets that they claim are hitting the Earth, like the ones over Arkansas, etc. Those are not artificial bodies. Those are, how should I say this, were intelligently designed vehicles that are being shot out of the air. A lot of people can't handle this. My favorite emails that I don't answer is, tell me everything you know. And I say, well, what have you done with anything you know? And most of the answer is nothing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're beyond what I call keyboard warriors in cyberspace. We're now watching complete continents, Australia devastated. We're seeing Brazil flooding. We're seeing mudslides. We're seeing everything that John detailed, and then some. We're seeing concurrent volcanoes going off simultaneously. At last count, there were 20. This is what the scientists told me would be happening. And then an incident came along, and some of you remember being on talk radio in 1997 when the astronomer, Eugene Shoemaker, he was a geologist astronomer who warned about the dangers of asteroids hitting Earth. He died in an incident, a car incident in Australia during an annual search for craters. He was 69. He was killed in a two-car crash. His wife suffered extensive damage. She lived. I don't know if she's still alive. I went on record then in stating, listen, this was not an accident. This was a hit. If you remember during the time of 97, 98, 99, there were a lot of astronomers getting whacked, suicided, assassinated. So what is the benefit of killing off these people? You probably missed it, but a number of years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, Zhansong from China set up an observatory in the Antarctic, and so much is going on in the Antarctic. And whether you really get a feel for the Antarctic, I would encourage all of you that have never read on my website, go to stevequayle.com and click on Operation High Jump. Because even now, people in Argentina and people in Patagonia are talking about, that's a tip of South America, they're talking about the war that's taking place in space. They're seeing literally hundreds, if not sometimes 200 and 300 ships firing on each other. And again, ladies and gentlemen, what am I trying to get to tonight? I'm trying to get to the point that how can you see this sudden change? And as John points out, the lame excuses coming from the media. They don't want you to panic, but trust me, based on the last 48 hours that I've heard from, they're in deep, deep readiness mode. Now, I heard Russ Dizdar before coming on the radio, and I concur with Russ's statement on the, you know, everyone's worried about the Mayan calendar. First of all, let me tell you where the Mayans got their calendar. They got it from the fallen angels. And if you go on my website, you can also go to what's called Map of the Creator. Go on my search engine and see it. How is it that the information that we have on Earth is always attributed to natives in a cave painting with the blood of slain buffaloes, when some of them are perfect star charts and there are some cosmos drawings that could only be taken from a position, for instance, let's say in the Pleiades? The Pleiades are the seven sisters. So where I want to focus tonight is this. We are dealing with there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the devil and his angels. That's a twofold purpose. That's already taken place once. It's going to be taken place when Satan and his rebel angels are kicked out of the heavens that they now inhabit and come literally to earth. Maybe Jesus knew what he was talking about, and of course he did when he said, woe unto those inhabitants of earth. Woe, 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 because you don't get it. The angels crying out, woe, I got news for you. I may not know a lot, but woe is not a good thing, okay? That means really, really take notice. Okay, excuse me, catastrophism, judgment, Rahab, the harlot planet. In Roche's Limit, or Roche's Limit, I pronounce it Roche, I'm sorry, R-O-C-H-E, the all of the asteroid belts and all of the, if you will, the cometary fragments, etc. And I've rejected, like Jim McCanny, Dr. James McCanny, has been teaching the electrified plasma. And guess what? Now it's coming out that that just may be the case. But in planetary catastrophism, there is always a cause and effect, and the change is awesome. When I say awesome, I mean not a good thing. It's overwhelming. That's what terrified those who wrote in history prior to us about what was happening. So when I hear about how bright the Aztecs and Incas and the Mayans were, and by the way, I've studied all three of their civilizations, especially their tie to giants, the Mayans themselves, in a book called The Valley of Forest Kings, has Xambahlum, which was a six-fingered, six-toed king. And guess what? They all had an appetite, not for Big Macs and chocolate shakes, but for human blood and human flesh. And so I am with Russ on this. I don't believe 2012, December 21st, outside of the actual alignments, is the key date. I think we're right in the midst of it now. And I can't speak for John and others, but I will tell you this. The lameness, if those of you who maintain that the only way to validate or find truth, or whether those guys on talk radio really get it or not, is by watching Fox, good luck. That's like going into a gourmet restaurant, being able to have the finest steak or seafood or whatever meal you've ever had in your life, and settling for vomit. You're not going to pay for vomit. Then why do you watch this stuff? If you would absolutely... I would say this, if you would consider what's going on the planet right now, even the core, I put up on my video of the week today, if you haven't seen it, it's changed, it's excerpts from the movie The Core, and it gives a pretty good scientific explanation of what's going on. But in order to shift us on our axis or continue to have an influence where the poles will change, it's a matter of forces, gravitic forces, and also unknown forces, not necessarily unknown to the powers that be, but that which we are allowed as mere peons passing by in their serfdom. We are allowed to only know so little. But God has a way of, how should I say this, balancing out the scales. He said he put the sun, moon, star, and everything in the sky as signs. And the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, the book of Job, it talks about the gentle influence of Pleiades. And now what are we seeing in the heavens, if you will? I want to read this because it's an interesting scripture, and it's so valid tonight. And it's again, critical that you understand this. Look, I can lead you. John can lead you. Others can lead you. We can take you by the hand. We can do it. And I've tried to do that for 15 years, and to some extent I've probably succeeded, and others I've failed. But listen to this. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? Pleiades is what, 440 light years away? Or loose the bands of Orion? Can you bring forth the Maseroth in a season? Or can you guide Arcturus with his suns, Mars and the two planets? I mean, not planets, it's two satellites. The thing is that it's fascinating because if you take how far away Pleiades is, and God is contending with Job, asking him, look, if you've got wisdom, answer me this. And it's the, if you're talking about, if you will, the sweet influences of Pleiades, then what about something like the 10th planet? And it's interesting, with the return of the 10th planet, Planet X, Gabriel's fist, comes the return of those who, by God's mercy and grace, he kept off the planet, he kept in chains, he kept locked out through the gates, and guess what? It's not just the gremlins are back, they're coming back. And see, this is the interesting thing in the days of Noah. For most people don't understand the planetary conjunctions and the forces that would literally be necessary to break up the fountains of the deep. I cannot refer a better book than Donald Patton's The Biblical Flood and Ice Epoch. It, by the way, he's a scientist. He's not just one of the Creation Institute guys. This guy is way beyond them, and I don't make fun of them. I'm just saying he deals with the celestial catastrophes. In essence, he takes what Velikovsky did right, said here's where he did wrong, but basically they arrive at the same conclusion. So if you have famine, you're going to have famine when obviously the weather turns totally inhospitable. You're going to have famine and cholera and disease in these areas that are flooded. You're going to have winds, and we haven't even begun to see the winds yet, ladies and gentlemen. When you have 200-mile-an-hour surface winds, it maybe would be smart for you to consider building something underground or at least identifying one of the old civil defense fallout shelters. Go find the oldest building in your town, and even in the little town I live in, the Gallatin County Courthouse, that used to be a major fallout center. The whole thing's built in granite, and it's underground, or built on granite, built up granite, and it's underground in the basement where the Department of, I don't know what it's called now, but the old civil defense group used to meet. The thing is that it's important that people understand this. The elite know very well what's coming. They've been preparing for it, and guess what? You've been paying for it all the way. And again, I go back to my conversation with a banking gentleman who was very well connected when he was telling me that even Goldman Sachs is moving their people underground. And you might like to understand this, that what the biblical judgments that are coming upon us in the book of Revelation, they know that, but they've been told a lie that after this, all the Christians get killed, all of the Jews, they're going to kill everybody. They want the Muslims, Jews, and Christians to kill everybody off because right, wrong, or indifferent, then they can bring on their total world domination of what's left. But there are too many passages out there in the Old Testament that are now coming into focus. How about this? This is one of my favorites in Obadiah 1, 3 through 4, and I'd like to dedicate this to a certain Navy five-star. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and thou set thy nest among the stars, yet will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Because again, ladies and gentlemen, the people that designed the greatest known flying aircraft and machines said we've already been to stars, we've been beyond the stars, and if we've already seen all of this stuff, I got a call from another guy, and he said, Steve, all I can tell you is what I've seen lately is not of this earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, obviously with the current focus on secrecy in the U.S. government and no tattletales and people getting whacked, assassinated, killed, murdered, i.e. what did Jack Wheeler really know, i.e. what did the lady whose BMW burned and she was dead, and then, hey, another BMW burns up. Why are the assassinations taking place at such an accelerated rate? Well, I can tell you this. In my estimation, it's because the genie, their word, is about to be out of the bottle. And I think that it's really important that that you and I and recognize this, that once the genie's out of the bottle, we don't get seven wishes, we don't get three wishes. We have one thing to rely on, and that's the protection and our relationship with Jesus. Look, I told you of the little thing that's going on in the world right now. It's called IVND, okay? India Victor November Delta. I may have missed one of those. IVND. Identify, vilify, nullify, destroy. You remember when you were told there was no water on Mars and there was no life on Mars? And I categorically can tell you, point blank, there are those that will argue with me, that I have seen photos that are undoctored from NASA through some different people, and I can tell you this, NASA is tweaking the pictures you see. Now, isn't it interesting that even the ones that are published more of supposedly the fossilized trees and the canyons and everything, have you noticed the color change has been gradual? And whether the red dust is directly related to storms or not, I can only tell you I have seen blue skies smiling at me. I did not see the clouds, but I saw a blue horizon. Obviously, the blue would be coming from the spectral reflection, absorption, etc. of what's Martian's atmosphere. But isn't it phenomenal that the angry red planet has so close to its proximity, its orbital proximity, its tilt, its and when we're on one side of the sun, Mars is on the other. My guess is they got a really good view of Planet X from Mars right now. And ladies and gentlemen, the reason, I want to go back to the Antarctic, the reason everybody fled to the Antarctic is because what's coming at us is coming from us, the southern hemisphere. As the Earth's axis is exposed to the different gravitational field or the force of the field, i.e. Planet X's motion towards us, the size of Planet X, that gravitational pull on the Earth is going to be so traumatic and dramatic that if the Pleiades has a sweet influence on the Earth, what does something like this have? And let me tell you this. You, those of you who are raised in the Star Wars generation, we're talking about the ultimate Death Star. We're talking about something beyond Battlestar Galactica. We're talking about the culmination of the ages, that Jesus himself said if the days weren't shortened, there'd be no flesh left alive. Yet for the elect's sake, the days are going to be shortened. You know, everyone's getting dimensional time shifts and what I call out of phase, and people are basically, I've had people send me emails saying, Steve, it's like I'm caught between two worlds. I had a moment there where it was so weird. I was in the natural, but it was like there were two of me and I was in another dimension. Well, I got news for you. Whatever you believe about the Bible, you better know this, that the angel in the book of Revelation declares, and the mystery of time will be no more. We get back, ladies and gentlemen. I want to go through the volcanoes. The volcanoes, even in their names, are telling us something. Their locations are telling us everything. And you ain't seen nothing yet. We'll be right back. You're listening to Survive to Thrive.
All right, now we're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, Interfood.com. Give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. And not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. And, I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really that good.
Yeah, she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system. And it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Interfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Interfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting some emails. Go to my website, stevequayle.com, and type in Map of the Creator in my search engine. It's towards the bottom of my my website, you know, on the news page, down in the right-hand corner, Map of the Creator. They claim it's 100 million years old. Well, here's the thing. You know, I want to do a show. I'll have to do it probably on Bruce Lee on Omega Man and talk about Tohu and Bohu, Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. Yes, I believe in the gap theory. I don't call it that. I call it pre-Adamic. Derek Prince taught it. Arthur Cousins taught it. These guys have Greek, Hebrew, Latin. They're brilliant men. They're both with the Lord now. But again, why is it so difficult for people to sit in movie theaters and watch all the science fiction stuff, and then when it comes into their being, absolutely go on as if it's nothing more than rap music and you know, rock and roll and all the stuff that are iPods, iPads, all the stuff that's out there to take our attention away. Now, look, I'm not against technology, but I am when it's used against me. By the way, I'll tell you an interesting thing. A friend of mine who has a relative in the CIA, the person said this relative will not stay in the room where there's HDTV under any circumstances. Under any circumstances. And I asked him, I said, well, can you find out why that is? I know the answer, but I want to hear it officially. And then, you know, we've heard things about that and stuff. Why was it such a push to even give them to you free? I can tell you something that most probably don't want to hear because, hey, whatever baseball, basketball, football game, whatever looks better on a big screen TV. There's something more to it, ladies and gentlemen. And I consider it the numbing and dumbing. And basically, I consider it the electronic, if you will, decimation of your cerebral cortex. Now, the reason I say that, the vacuuming of your mind, because when they vacuum your mind, i.e., with the pleasure center, whatever they're doing to give you pleasure, they can also implant into that pleasure center infrasonic messages and images. How is it that so many people see so much that's going on yet deny any reason or can even make cause and effect? I have a relative, I won't tell you who, the guy thinks the only truth there is on Fox News. I mean, that's the limit of his world, okay? And my axe to grind with them is, outside of Judge Napolitano, I don't know anybody on there that's worth listening to. And you know, Andrew Napolitano, not doctor, but Judge Napolitano, I mean, he's the only guy that I've ever heard really tell it like it is, okay? So I don't listen to Fox News either, by the way, just for the record. I find that hanging out in the different newspapers around the world, magazines, are very telling, because not everybody's keeping this stuff underground or under the wraps. Now, it's interesting, okay? We talk about the fall of Rome. The Roman, you know, obviously, you can read about the rise and fall of Rome, or the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. You can go read all you want. But I'm telling you this. It's still astonishing to me that people think that somehow in the United States of America, or actually I call it in the United of the disunited states of denial land, that somehow everything's going to work out. We are flat-ass broke. Let me share this. We are $200 trillion in debt. You want to bet how much of that is in the underground economy, meaning theirs? And I just want to clarify two things. Somebody asked me, why did I put the message up on my website today about Planet X. I don't know who this is. Sherry said she's confused. I just did it to put it up as a background. I should have said the dates have come and gone, and that's not why I put it up there. The person that wrote it just put it up from a Christian perspective. I didn't want to put up a bunch of the New Age blather, because I got news for you. This is not the Golden Age. Everybody's not going to, you know, give each other hugs, sit around smoking genetically enhanced hash, or, you know, having sex with robots, and somehow life is going to be good, or sex bots. By the way, I broke that story almost a decade ago, and I had people that were offended. Well, if you think that's offensive, wait until you see what basically Kurzweil and some of his crew are saying about they have transcended humanity now. The end of man is in sight. Does that maybe have a ring to it? Jesus obviously knew what singularity is. Singularity in Jesus' mind is when the believers who are redeemed by his blood could be one with the Father. That's not what they have. By the way, did you also see the fact that it's really interesting that Einstein postulated that you could have matter in two places in the universe at the same time? And yet then he didn't think that could be possible, and now they've just proven it is possible. A good example of that is if you even consider the ability of twins separated by distance to be experiencing the same thing. My mother, bless her heart, passed away, and her twin sister 2 years before her. But they went through childbirth. My mother wasn't even pregnant, yet she was going through childbirth at the same time and place. I remember sitting around with a friend of mine, Niles McKenna. We were at Malaga Cove. Oh, good night, intermediate school in California back when I was, I think, 13 years old, 12, whatever it was. And we were sitting around postulating. In those days, I was concerned with calculating rocket thrust, and he and I were working on rockets, and we wanted to go out to the desert, and, you know, we were, if you will, the mad scientist. He had the best chemistry set I've ever seen. His dad was a teacher. I mean, when I talk, you talk about beakers, flasks. We had, I mean, every single chemical. In those days, you know, you weren't a terrorist if you bought potassium permanganate or iodine crystals. I can remember the day going in and playing with jars of cadmium sulfide either sulfide or sulfate, one of them that glowed in the dark. And we had a blast. But we were sitting one day with our backs up against a chain link fence overlooking the area, and we were talking, and he was talking about, you know, speed of light, and I just said, you know, if you had one person in one part of the universe, another person in the other part of the universe, and they had the same thought, thought transcends light. And he looked at me, and we sat there and kicked this around. Now, that was, you know, guys, for 12-year-olds, that's pretty much deep stuff, okay? Why I bring that up is this. The Bible teaches that when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that we're seated in heavenly places. Well, I got news for you. I know where my butt is right now, and it's on this chair in my broadcast center with my headset on. But see, there are principles that the Lord makes so clear that we say, well, science doesn't prove the Bible. Uh-uh. It was God who created. Do you think really the Lord has a problem with quantitative calculus or with figuring out angles, cosines, and tangents? Do you really think that he who set everything in space and its unique orbits, you want to hear the most beautiful story about God giving someone a guided tour of the universe, I should get Henry Gruber on and let him tell you. I think he may have touched on it the last time I had, but he remembered being a little boy sitting inside under a truck, looking up at the skies and just asking God, oh, Lord, someday I really want to see the universe. Well, obviously, if you know the story of Henry, he died, and God gave him a guided tour. And he said it wasn't even the question of speed. It was a question of instantaneously being at a certain point, then instantaneously being at another point. And, you know, it's interesting because we think of when we read the book of Daniel in the King James that the angel was caused to fly swiftly. Well, we think that, man, that guy, Michael, sure had to, flap his wings hard. That's not what it's talking about. The thing is that we lose so much of the original language. But here's what I'm trying to say tonight. Planet X, the 10th planet, is real. Even in the Pentagon, I was told by somebody who works there one time, he said, yeah, we love it when you come on. Half the corridor loves you and the other half hates you. And he said, and they always refer to it as the gods of the Sumerians. Now remember this, the gods of the Sumerians biblically are the fallen angels. They are not demons. Demons are disembodied spirits. And I had a Catholic exorcist, 80 years old, call me, and then he had a talk with one of my employees the other day, a fascinating man. I mean, the guy's got more PhDs and master's degrees than anything. And he wanted my books. And I said, sir, you've got my books. And it's fascinating because even in all the years of, and look, I'm telling you this, in the evangelical world of exorcism, it's the power of God in the name of Jesus through the blood of the Lamb. It's what I call functionally applied authority. I've never had to sprinkle water on anybody. I've never had to hold up a Madonna cross, and Madonna cross is a heavy cross. I'm not making fun of it. I'm just telling you. But in the name of Jesus, those things come out. Now, if a spirit had been embodied, if it had been disembodied, at some point it had to be embodied. Now, I want to take you to the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, because right now, ladies and gentlemen, we have Mount Etna going off. I think it's up on my website. We've got Kizimin in Russia. These are all the volcanoes. We got Manam in Papua New Guinea. We've got Bulacan in the Philippines. We've got Dukono in Indonesia. We've got Fuego in Guatemala. These are right now, okay? These are not the ones that may have erupted a month ago and have settled down. We've got Kerensky in Russia. That's in the Kamchatka. We've got Kilauea, of course, in the United States, which is the longest-running active volcano. I remember being up in Kilauea in a Bell Jet Ranger with the doors off and a T-shirt on, and I got hypothermia. I thought, hey, if it's good at ground level, it's got to be good up there. Not the case. We've got Merapi in Indonesia. We've got Pacaya in Guatemala. We've got Reventador in Ecuador. We've got Sakurajima in Japan. We've got San Cristobal in Nicaragua. We've got Santa Maria in Guatemala. We've got Shevelduk in Russia, in the Kamchatka. We've got Soufriere Hills, and that's in the Caribbean. We've got Suenos Jima in Japan. We've got Tungurahua in Ecuador. And, of course, we've got Anak Krakatau, son of the Anakim, son of the giants. And when Krakatau goes off, I sent this in an email. I said the other day, listen, when Krakatau goes off, everything goes off. They said, what do you mean by that? I think George Ure did a great job in Urban Survival either today or yesterday, basically saying, so where's the disconnect between volcanism and cooling of the Earth's temperature? We've got records that go back that far. And what I would say to all you Al-Gore-aholics, okay, Al-Gore-aholics are the people that still believe that somehow man-made global warming is the cause of everything. Do you notice this? If you make men the cause of everything, and the devil sure doesn't get blamed for much, at least in the Illuminati world. Heck no, they worship him. Then obviously, you get rid of men, and you get rid of the problem. The hardest thing for me to communicate effectively is this. Nothing the official party line states is true. You remember, again, there was no water on the moon. Now we know there's water on the moon. There's a whole lot more on the moon than water. There was no water on Mars. Now there's Mars, and there's fossilized trees, or there's caves on Mars. Well, gee, why is it that we have a base on Mars and nobody believes it, when yet the technology, do you think it's a little strange that computers advanced and all the technology we got now, yet we're still kicking out rockets with Saturn boosters and putting on, quote-unquote, the last of the shuttles? It's all for public consumption, ladies and gentlemen. The Nazis had so much. I was told by a special operations general, active duty, not an armchair retired guy, well, my brother, my second cousin had a top secret clearance, and he said there are no UFOs. Oh, yeah, did he just talk to the guy, talk to a little ago, or the 5,000 people I've talked to over the last 30 years? And when they say this, they're not of this earth. They're not, ladies and gentlemen, because they're what's coming on the earth. They're coming up from under the earth. I remember telling you about the stories of what goes on in the South Pacific or in Puerto Rico, where Pretty Ricky is located. I'm telling you point blank that there's so many events happening. Look, Hawk talks about loading the faults. Let me tell you what a scalar weapon does or a scalar wave does. That's not all scalar. I was corrected on my understanding it was all scalar. Not. There are multiple forms of electromagnetic warfare mechanisms being used right now. But a scalar wave is this. Imagine if you've ever seen the movie The Abyss, where the aliens are going to get ready to destroy the Earth, and here you've got this giant wall of ocean that's being held right at the spot. Now, everybody knows that water moves, okay? Obviously, it can be held back by an artificial dam, but the point is that it's in motion. Everybody knows that sound waves and light waves propagate unless there's a way to set up an electromagnetic, if you will, force field or barrier that the birds run into. Listen, I've heard the arguments that, well, there can be no giants on the Earth because of the gravitational field of the Earth. Oh, yeah? Who said anything that the gravitational field of the Earth hasn't changed? And, oh, by the way, the giants live in the realm of harmonic levitation. A picture on my website, when you go to the giant site and go to the illustration, shows a giant Mayan king. It's either a Mayan or, I think, forgive me, it's an Incan king, literally lifting one of the, 10-ton boulders through what's called his nasal pharyngeal. They're able to create a sound wave, if you will, that offsets gravity. Same thing when read about electrogravitics, read zero-point energy. You can change gravity by changing the electrical field. You can move stuff through sound. Don't think so? Look at the old BASF tape commercials on TV where they put a loudspeaker up and they break glass. Hey, it's the frequency that breaks the glass, isn't it? Well, you can also levitate. And when I say levitation, I'm not talking about psychics and all that stuff, though they use it, because there is a way to overcome density and overcome gravity. So here's the point. Getting back to Planet X. Everybody's at war with everyone on this planet in the weather warfare realm. There are 72 ionospheric heaters. Everybody's blasting their waves at everybody else. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? The core of the Earth is acting as a giant attractor. In other words, we're electromagnetizing even beyond the created way that God had. Every boundary, every barrier, every, if you will, perfect point of cosmic creation in the wonderful heart and mind of God is being tampered with. Everything that God created good, the devil's going to make bad because he's on his last rampage. And for those of you that say you mouth the word spiritual warfare, I don't know what it's going to take. And I've asked the Lord that so many times. I said, dear Lord God, what is it going to take to get people's attentions? Everything that we're seeing now doesn't do it. They just lap it off, or they go on as if it's party hardy until, the next game next week. Or everything is, my favorite is, I'm a fearmonger. First of all, when you hear the word fearmonger, put that into Tavistock technology. Go look up the Tavistock Institute. Look up neuro-linguistic programming. Because, again, it is the goal of the Illuminati. It was a goal to keep things secret. Now they're openly bragging about what they're going to do. And guess what? They doing it to you, and they doing it to me, and they're doing it to us. And we're all reaping the repercussions. I want to address something else tonight. And I have to address this. Mountain House. People, when I posted that, I posted from one of their largest dealers. Now, I have since heard from Emergency Essentials, and they do have some Mountain House cans in stock, and probably Nitro Pack would too. But I'm telling you point blank that the double talk, we plan to have cans back in stock sometime, hopefully. Or hopefully we plan to have them back in stock in the spring. Plan to, hopefully. You know, when someone doesn't directly answer your question but goes another way, I got to tell you, then another one of my clients called them and said, oh, yeah, we're selling a lot of it to a federal agency. Well, a federal agency technically may not be the federal government, but here's what the point is. The point is what you can, ladies and gentlemen, please, please study something. Just take a couple hours and go on Astral Catastrophism, A-S-T-R-A-L, Catastrophism, C-A-T-A-S-T-R-O-P-H-I-S-M, and then start to look at the stuff that's out there on Planet X, and you'll find out this. The reason you're robbed from your history is they don't want you to know that not only does history repeat itself, stupidity propagates at the speed of life, but the denial that's out there in the scientific community. How is it that some Nobel laureate can be right, and then all of a sudden he's wrong, and then they bring out somebody. By the way, Carl Sagan was a CIA operative. So was Gene Roddenberry of Star Trek fame. How do you think Gene Roddenberry got the stuff he got? And what do you want to bet? Carl was kept in billions and billions of dollars as he denied everything that had to do, obviously, with God, aliens, etc. So, ladies and gentlemen, now the veneer is coming off. Planet X, Gabriel's Fist, it's real stuff. Look, you can't. You can say, I'm crazy, and say, anybody's crazy. You can do whatever you want to the messenger, but you cannot deny the effects you're seeing in your daily perusal of the headlines. You cannot deny the mudslides. You cannot deny the famine in some place. You cannot deny the fires in one part of Australia and absolute inundation with a biblical-style flood on the other. You cannot deny what's happening. And take a look, ladies and gentlemen. Just take a ruler. Draw the northernmost happening and the southernmost happening. And then just look at that band and watch where it is. And then say, if I could figure out, now we all aren't astrophysicists, I'm sure not, I'm sure glad I got smarter friends than I am, but if you look at the angular velocity, if you look at the way things are coming in, and you can't just think in the way you think in the normal, you know, we're in a four-sided, or actually a three-sided universe, height, width, and depth, but when you get into time and space, and then you get into the, and I can't even go there tonight, dimension jumping, okay, jumping dimensions. If you look up, start to begin to study time, and you start to begin to study space, in the way you've got to look at the stuff, take a basketball, like, you know, I've ever had one in my hand, maybe playing four square when I was four. But if you take everything that's going on in the world as a as writing on the surface of the basketball, you know, like maybe it's, I don't know who makes them now, Wilson or whoever. But if you took everything that's going on, all the events, and looked at it as not so much linear, but as spherical, all taking place at once, what would you come up with? Well, there's writing all over the ball. You take the ball as a metaphor for the earth, there's writing all over the earth. If you take events as a writing that's on the ball, then there are events all over the earth. And basically, this is the hardest point to get across. You had your chance to buy food. Some of you still have a chance to buy food. If you have profits in the metals and you've doubled your money, then take the excess and buy food, and buy food for extra people. If you're a Christian, do that. And then give it to them so they can live on their own. Because, look, there's only two types of people in the world. It's true in Christianity. There's either givers or takers. And it's amazing to me that those that would seek to take away from everything have so little to give or have done nothing. And again, they can boast on, 30, 40 years ago, but what are they doing today? That's the same thing, ladies and gentlemen. We have a chance now to make a difference in our family's life. And look, if they think you're crazy, just put them on YouTube and look at the floods and look at some of the events happening. And again, this is nothing compared to what Planet X is going to do. This is the beginning. Obviously, we're feeling the effects of Gabriel's Fist. We're feeling the effects of the 10th planet. And the tragedy is this, is over and over and over, I begged a certain group of people to put a spokesman on with me. And he would establish his bona fides or bona fides, and he is who he is. I went to the point of buying a satellite phone, voice-changing technology, and they had more sophistication than I had, but just to try and accommodate that. And a couple of people on a board that I was on, the only board, the last board I was on, this is like 5 years ago, you know, just basically had to tear into everything. And I had fought with a certain general, I'll be blunt with you, making the case, no, the people really do want to know, and these are God's people. And after the evidence to the contrary, I just shut up. again, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't do me any good or anybody else any good to tell you what's beyond the veil if you can't read the handwriting on the curtain. And Jesus said, if I've told you earthly things and you believe me not, how can I tell you heavenly things? And tonight we're talking about the heavenly things affecting the earthly things. And by the way, Jonathan Swift, who wrote Gulliver's Travel, he hung out with some pretty smart people. He hung out or was privy to the information of Whiston. Whiston, obviously, is a man that translated Antiquity of Jews. He hung out with the likes of William Halley, Halley's Comet. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, when you talk about Sir Isaac Newton being probably one of the smartest men in the history of the world, even the non-scientific community that tries to say, oh, he's an alchemist, he's a this, he's a that, I got news for you. Someone with an IQ of 5 shouldn't be taking on someone with an IQ of 500. And the other thing is, ladies and gentlemen, when Dave Flynn basically wrote his book, Temple at the Center of Time, and found out what Newton could not find out, that was a time marker. Because Sir Isaac Newton even said in his writings, and I have the original manuscript of the Apocalypse of Daniel the Prophet and the Apocalypse of St. John, even with the S's and all the stuff, really hard to read through. I think it may even be online. But when you read through that stuff, you see that the one thing that our ancestors still sought for was truth. The one thing they possessed was critical thinking. Understand this, that MK Ultra, MK, okay, Mary K, MK, as in, you know, the initials, and Ultra, ULTRA, the mind control programs, they succeeded, ladies and gentlemen. You now, whether you know it or not, even though you don't play video games, you live in a virtual world totally delivered or set free from reality. And I don't mean that in a funny way. I mean that in a castigating way. Virtual worlds are not the real world. But if you stay and get enough people in Facebook hell, and I want to make this clear, I stand different and opposed to Facebook and MySpace for this simple reason, that it is a self-building, self-replicating, and a procreating database, not only on you, but your closest friends. Guess what? They don't like you. They may not like your friends. And this is impossible for some of the people I talk to. I mean, I've had it to the point where, and look, I can't say if this person on talk radio says they're on Facebook or they're on Twitter or anything like that. My answer to them is a simple question. Are they on their face? Are they seeking the living God if they claim to be Christians? And are they doing what Jesus would have them do? Listen, I don't know how to make it. I don't know how to make it clear. I don't know how to make a plea to you guys. Get off Facebook. I made a statement. I've got to get to it. I said, when I see the Euro crash, when I see these things happening, one of the things I'm going to tell everybody, get set. Wean yourself from your cell phones. Wean yourself from your home computers. Start, if you got to keep in contact with people, start posting from internet cafes. This is for people who know what's going on. Start lowering your profile. Those of us on talk radio don't have that ability. I can't do that. But you can. And by the way, it's not about me. If 500 people go into eternity knowing Jesus, or 500,000 or 5,000, then I'm happy, and I'm happy that I contributed. If I can wipe away the tears off of one child's eyes or one grandchild's eyes because, Mommy, I'm hungry. I know, sweetheart, we have no food. It tears me up. I said it before I stand again, and Sabine, God bless you. I said, the greatest sound I know in the universe is the sound of children's laughter. Don't get me wrong, I love the Hallelujah Choir and the background music of the cosmos and stuffing. But you know, there's a beauty of innocence. That's why it's being stolen. That's why it's being raped. It's being plundered. It's being slaughtered. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe that the hit in Arizona was a sanctioned MK Ultra mind control trainee, then I don't know how to make it real to you. The target wasn't Gifford. The target was the judge. Well, ladies and gentlemen, please turn into John DiNardo's program. Again, it's going to bless you. He really has a handle on this. It's time to really hit this stuff. I'm going to try and do a three-hour show with Omega Man on this stuff and get into pre-Adam and what the ancients knew that you still haven't figured out yet. Good night, everyone.